How many of you glad you're saved tonight? You can't be glad that you're saved. I don't know what you'd ever be glad about. Nothing else even to begin to compare to knowing that you know, that you know, that you know you're saved. I remember the day very well. On a Wednesday morning, July 22nd, 1964, an old-fashioned altar, when Jesus came into my heart, saved me for time and eternity. And as the preacher's already said, I hadn't got over that yet. I'm afraid there's a whole lot of folks who've tried to get over it. Amen. Y'all get that in a little while. If you want to, you can. They've tried to get over it with dignity. They've tried to get over it with stature. They've tried to get over it with respectability. They've tried to get over it with fortune or fame. But if you've got sky blue, blood red, old time, Holy Ghost salvation, somewhere along the way, it's going to show up on you. If you've got the real deal, one of these days, it'll be kind of like the old-fashioned measles. It'll break out on you. Amen? And I'm subject for that about any time. I sat down by the brother over here last night, and I appreciate last night's service and how God blessed. I was blessed. I don't know. I'm really glad I got to be here last night. Glad to be here today. Glad to be here tonight. I'm thankful for the opportunity always to be in the house of the Lord. And it's a good thing always to go and be assembled with like believers in the house of the Lord. But it's a whole lot better when the Lord's in the house. Sat down with a brother over here last night, and he wanted to know how we were doing. I said, well, I'm glad to be here, but I can't promise you how I'm going to behave myself. And it's all right to shout when God's moving, when the Spirit of God's real, touching your heart. It's all right to get emotional. It's all right to wave your hand. It's all right to holler. This is the quietest world you're ever going to be in. This is the quietest world you're ever going to live in, whether it's in heaven or in hell. This is the quietest place you're going to be. And so tonight I just came here with a desire upon my heart that we might be a blessing to you. More than that, I came here that we might magnify and glorify the name that is already above all others. The name of Jesus Christ the Lord. I appreciate Brother Squire and his son, and I even appreciate Greg. I appreciate them and thank God for them. And Squire, I believe you wrote that song. I call it Home With Me and Mine. With almost 40 years traveling up and down the highway, living out of a suitcase, I'm going to be real glad when I leave the house and go home. Sit there if you want to. I ain't got a spell but myself. It ain't going to hurt me now. I'd like for you to turn with us tonight, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter number 1. The book of the Revelation, chapter number 1. I have debated all afternoon as to what God would have for us to try to preach from tonight. And every time I look at something else, something about this draws me back to it. And when you find that place, all of you that can and will, I'll ask you to stand and honor the Word of God as we read a few verses from Revelation chapter number 1, beginning verse number 17. And there, if you have the right kind of Bible, it reads like this. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Eternal God, our Father, in the precious and wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we ask you to bless the word of God to our hearts and to our lives tonight. Lord, I pray that if there be one in this building that knows not Christ and the free pardon of sin, that tonight would be the wonderful night when they see him as their hope, see him as the one that can take them home, see him as the one that loved them with an everlasting love and gave himself a ransom for whosoever would call upon his name. I pray, God, you'd encourage someone tonight that's discouraged. Speak to the weak, bind up the brokenhearted. Whatever you do, we'll be careful to give you praise and honor and glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. You know tonight, Lord, within my own ability, within my own body, I'm not able to do the job that needs to be done. Oh, I'm glad I serve a God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. So, Father, we pray for a double portion of the Holy Ghost of God to move in our midst and make us to be a vessel unto honor unto him who is worthy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated, and I thank you for standing in honor of the Word of God. In these verses of Scripture, we find that the Apostle John had been exiled over to the Isle of Patmos. John had been with Jesus his entire earthly ministry. He was the one that was leaning upon Jesus' breast at the supper table. He was the one that is called John the Beloved. He's the one that Jesus looked down from the cross, and there standing his mother, he said, "Woman, look at your son. Son, look at your mother." Giving John the awesome responsibility of helping to take care of his mother from that day forward. No doubt Jesus loved John. But we find also that John loved Jesus. And here in the book of Revelation, he is given the opportunity and the privilege of seeing some things and being some places that no one else had ever had the opportunity to be. John had been there, and he'd already described him over in the Gospel of John when he said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." John said, "I've already seen him, and I know so much about him that I can tell you he always has been and he always will be. There's never been a time when he wasn't. There never will be a time when he won't be." John said, "I've already seen, I've already walked with him, I've already heard from him. He was there when everything began and before." You ever thought, what was there before there was a beginning? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse number 14, John said, "And that same Word that has always been and forever shall be God, that Word wrapped itself in flesh and dwelt among us, that we might see and know and behold the glory of God as it was of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." John said, "I can tell you who he was. I can tell you that he always has been and he always will be the only begotten Son of the living God. He is God who wrapped himself in flesh and walked among men that you and I might behold, that we might be able to see him for ourselves." But oh, how do we today see the Lord Jesus? How do we today, in this modern day in which we live, how do we see Jesus? And how do we get in touch with him? He came to us. Amen. You couldn't get to him. That's the reason he came to us. He wrapped himself in flesh and walked among men that we might be able to see and know him for ourselves. This thing called religion is something that'll take you straight to hell. But there is, glory to God, there is such a thing as old-time Holy Ghost salvation. And it'll do something for you that'll take you out of time all the way into eternity. It'll never wear out and it'll never wear off. It'll always be the same because it was bought and purchased by the blood of the sacrifice for all sacrifices. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. John said, I saw him. I talked with him. I walked with him. I lived with him. I saw him when he died. And I was there when he got up again. I heard him speak. And I felt his voice. I felt his touch. I heard what he had to say. John said, I saw him. John kept on preaching. After Jesus went back and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, John kept on preaching. He kept on telling them. Matter of fact, he came to a place that he could not keep from it. Amen. Some of you get that in a minute. He came to the place that he got the can't help it. If you read over in Acts chapter number 4, you'll find they beat him and they stripped him and they mocked him and they made fun of him and they threw him in jail and they said, don't ever do that again. But he and Peter together, Peter looked at him and said, well, whether it be right to answer to you or answer unto God, you judge. But we can't help it. We can't help but see and tell and make others to know what we've already heard and what we've already seen. John kept on preaching. Though they told him not to, though they threatened him, though he was suffering on every account, yet John just kept on preaching. And he kept telling them, brethren, love one another. Love one another. Well, if you ever want to get a bunch of Baptists stirred up, tell them they got to love one another. Tell them they got to get along with one another. Tell them because of Jesus and his great love for them, they have to love one another. And the next thing you'll know, they'll be trying to find them another place to dwell. Amen. Trying to get Baptists to love one another is what's caused so many church splits around over the country. They want to love one another as long as it suits their fancy. They want to love one another as long as everybody else does what they want them to do. 95% of the church is perfectly willing that 5% do everything. But Jesus said, you've got your share, and you've got your part, and you've got your interest that you need to be responsible for, to take care of. And that is, tell the story. Keep ringing it out with grace and glory. The old-time gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let it not only be heard, but let it be seen in you. They took John over to the Isle of Patmos. They threw him out. They said, we don't want to hear that preacher no more. We've heard his stories. We've heard the gospel. We've heard everything about what he wants to tell us. We don't want to hear it no more. I don't know where you've noticed it or not, but in the country in which we live, they don't want to hear it no more. We're not waiting for a great big falling away. We're already in it. We're not waiting for the perilous times to come. They're already here. Men, women, boys, and girls are turning and going in all kinds of directions looking for anything in the world that they can to get them away from the truth. Instead of wanting to hear the truth and respond to it favorably as they should, they're turning it away. Men's hearts are failing them. Sons against dads, dads against sons, mothers and fathers and daughters and sons, they cannot get along anymore. I heard a terrible story the other day about a lady and her husband who took their child to Sunday school, and they took him to Awana's on Wednesday night, and they were witnessing to him, telling him he got saved by the grace of God. He said, how was that terrible? When he went back home, he told his mom and dad he got saved, and it made them mad. He said his grandparents had shoved religion down his throat. At least they won't have to worry about where that child spends eternity. Now there's a court injunction against them that they can't even speak to the child or come anywhere close to him. But when he gets to glory, it's going to be a different story. He's going to be able to run up to Grandpa and Grandma and hug them and say, thank you for telling me about Jesus. Thank you for telling me about the Lord. They threw John out on the Isle of Patmos. You look over in verse number 9, you'll find it said, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. They'd heard all they wanted to hear. I'm afraid we've come to a place in America that we've heard about all we want to hear. We want somebody to pat us on the back, tell us how pretty and how wonderful we are and what divine citizens we are of this country. When we're headed down the road in the wrong direction. John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Though he'd seen him, though he'd lived with him, though he'd walked with him, though he'd heard him many countless times before on the Lord's day, as the Spirit of God had caught him up and called him away, he said, I saw him like I've never seen him before. I'd seen him as the suffering lamb who opened not his mouth. I saw him as the one slain before the foundation of the world. I saw him beaten and mocked and spit upon. I saw him mistreated more than anybody else had ever been mistreated before. I saw him hated and jeered. But now I see him. Now I see him not as a lowly lamb, but now I see him as the lion of the tribe of Judah. The overcomer, the conqueror who has defeated death, hell, and the grave. Now I see him as the one who I can depend on. The one who I can always look to. The one I know is going to take care of me. John saw him as the one that gave him the opportunity to take care of his mother. Now John says, I see him. Fasten your seatbelt. I see him as the one who's going to take care of me. I saw him. And he said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He wasn't like the way he was when he went away. But now, as the conquering hero, standing with a voice, as a voice of many waters, I heard him when he spoke to me and said, John, write it down. Write it down. Go and tell them. I am he that was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. Do you know the only thing Jesus ever was? He was dead. But that's changed. He's not a was anymore. He is. The I am that says, I was, but I'm not anymore. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was buried, but I rose. I got up from the grave to prove that I am who I said I was. and that I forever shall be who I say that I am. The same great I am that spoke to Moses from a burning bush is the same great I am that John saw and heard and felt. He said, I saw him, and then I heard him, and then he laid his hand on me. I don't know what that's doing for you, but it's helping me a whole lot. I remember a day when I was lost and undone without God, dead in trespasses and in sin, with absolutely no hope whatsoever. And I remember an old-time man of God rolling up his sleeves and throwing his coat away and holding up that word of God and rolling it up in his hand and preaching to me the inerrant scriptures of God to my soul. And the Spirit of God in conviction came and showed me that I was lost in need of a Savior. That I had no hope whatsoever for all eternity. I was going to die. I was headed down a broad road of destruction. But his word to me was, you don't have to go. You don't have to go. He said, one's already taken your place. One's already paid your sin debt. One's already died that you might live. One came from heaven, divine, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger, raised up with no fault. No guile. Absolutely nothing amiss in his life, perfect in every detail. And he paid your sin debt in full. I don't know about you, but that did something to me. It helped me to understand he'd already done what needed to be done that I might have life and have it more abundantly. On that Wednesday morning, I came running down an old-fashioned altar, fell on my knees and said, oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And the Holy Ghost said, he already has. You're here. You're not in hell. I said, oh God, save me for Jesus' sake. And he said, okay. He walked into the empty cavern of my soul, took up his abode and said, I'm going to stay right here. This is mine. I bought him. I purchased him. He's my responsibility. He walked right in there and kicked hell out and unloaded glory, and I ain't got over that. I never shall forget the day when I first saw him. I saw him through the Bible, through the Word of God, through the old time preaching. Amen. Somebody told me Sunday, said I told him I appreciate the opportunity of trying to preach and got done. When he came around, he said, you know, you might be frightened if you ever get over trying. I'm glad that I know that I know that I know. I saw him. I heard him. And I felt him. I saw him through the Word of God. I heard him through the preached gospel. And I felt him when he came rushing into my heart, making me a brand new creature in Christ Jesus the Lord. Old things passed away and all things became new. John said, I want you to know how I saw him. You'll go back and read verse number 5. We'll find out. John said, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. John said, I saw him. I heard him. I felt him. And when I did, I found out that he was a faithful witness. A faithful witness. For us to be a faithful witness, we must be reliable in our task. John said, I learned a long time ago, I could, glory to God, that I could depend on him. In walking with him and hearing him and seeing what he did, I learned that he was faithful. Anybody here found out he's faithful? Anybody here found out that he doesn't make any mistakes? Anybody here found out that he never has done anything but good? He's reliable in every situation, in every circumstance. John said he's the faithful witness I can always depend on. He's not going to let me down. Did you know that your circumstances of life will not be the first opportunity he's ever had to fail? You thought you was the only one having any trouble, didn't you? But your circumstances of life will not bring his first failure. Oh, that ought to have got better than that. Your circumstances of life will not cause him to fail. He who knows the end from the beginning, who always has been, who always will be, and has everything in control all the way in between, will not let your circumstances of life bring failure to his record. He is the faithful witness, the reliable one, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. His faithfulness to us is without question. He told the prophet, he said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Well, hallelujah. I've loved you with an everlasting love. I'm not going to cut it off now. I'm not going to forget about it now. Just because circumstances and situations are messed up and you're not where you ought to be and you're not like you ought to be does not mean that he's going to quit loving you. Glory to God. He's still the faithful witness who hath loved us with an everlasting love. And we can depend on his reliability to keep on loving us. Why? He said, I'll never leave you. That ought to put a shout in our ice cube. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But I'll go with you all the way, even unto the end. He's not going to turn his back on you now. Hallelujah. He's the reliable one. John said, he is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. We were too precious to him for him to ever give up on us now. We've already cost him too much. The investment that he has in the child of God, everything that he's already done, is to prove what he's going to do. Unto him that loved us and washed us in his own precious blood. John said, I can depend on him because what he has invested in me, he's going to look out for. Now, I know the economy is bad. I hear it from one corner of the country to the other, from the top to the bottom, from east to the west. The economy is bad. So, it has been before. Yeah, man. I remember my parents talking about in the late 20s, early 30s, how it got really bad. We hadn't seen nothing yet. And with this socialistic regime that has taken over the regard and the running of this nation, it ain't gonna get no better. Hello? You can like that lump it, bump it, or jump it. I really don't care. Socialism doesn't offer you anything. I saw a sticker the other day I really liked. I want one for myself. It said, if you think health care is expensive now, wait till it's free. And your taxes have to double to pay for your free health care. Amen. He's reliable. We can depend on him. John said he's not only reliable, but he's also a redeeming one. The reliable one is also the redeeming one. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The cost that he paid was his own blood. It took the shedding of blood for the remissions of our sins. And the only lamb that could be slain was the one that God had already approved of and sent in his own will. It's not in the name of a dollar bill. It's not in the name of tithe. It's not in the name of Baptist. It's not in the name of church membership. It's not in the name of being baptized. It's not in the name of being faithful to the church, teaching Sunday school, preaching the gospel. It's not in that name. The only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved is in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. The reliable one is the redeeming one. The one who paid sin's debt in full. Has it dawned on you? Has it ever really dawned on you that all your sins are gone? Wow. I did a little word study one time on that word A-L-L, all. You know what it means? All. It does not leave out anything. All our sins are gone. Cast as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? How far is that? Nobody here know? That's good. Because God don't even know. Amen. He will remember them against us no more. He cast our sins so far away that we'll never meet up with them again. Whoa. I wish I was preaching in a Pentecostal church tonight. They'd have a spell right there. He's cast our sins so far away, they'll never be remembered against us anymore. All our sins are gone. The reliable one, the redeeming one, has taken care of it for time and eternity. John said, I saw him, I felt him, I heard him. And I heard him tell me, write it down. Write it down, because there's somebody coming along that needs to hear this. There's somebody coming along that if they don't even have a preacher that can bring the oration to them, they can read it for themselves and find out I've loved them with an everlasting love. That I've paid sin's debt for whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord and know that they shall be saved. Wow. If I didn't believe that, if I didn't know that to be a fact, I'd fold up my Bible and go to the house and forget about it. But I know that I need to keep on preaching it and keep on telling it and keep on relating this story, because somewhere along the way, God's going to put one that needs to hear, that needs to see, that needs to feel, and to know they can be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. John said he's not only reliable, he's the redeeming, he's the righteous one who has loved us. The perfect, spotless Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. Verse number 6 tells us he's the ruling one. He's made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He's the ruling one. I'm feeling better about that all over than anywhere else. He's in charge. It's according to his will, according to his word. I can't help what Obama has to say. I can't help it. He's lost and headed for hell. I've never had the opportunity to tell him about the redeeming one. Whether he'd believe it or not is up to him. That's between him and God. It's my voice. It's my job. It's your job. It's your job. It's your job to just keep on telling it. Let that voice cry out in this wilderness. that somebody else might hear, that somebody else might respond, that somebody else might receive the ruling one. A whole lot of folks want him to be Savior, but they don't want him to be Lord. Uh-oh. They want him to be Savior, but they don't want him to be Lord. He'll either be both or he won't be at all. Amen. He's the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God. All authority in heaven and in earth has already been given over into his hand. He's the ruling one. And you know what I like about it best? He's already ruled in my favor. There's never been a time that he wasn't on my side. Oh, I appreciate the fact that somebody said he picked me up and put me on his side. Thank God for that. But there's never been a time that he wasn't already on my side. There's never been a time that he has not loved me. There's never been a time that he did not wish for me the very best. There's never been a time when he didn't have me in mind, that he didn't have me on his heart. There's never been a time when he didn't care for my soul. He's the, glory to God, he's the ruling one who has ruled in my favor. You see, he came to where I was. I wasn't looking for him. But because he loved me, and because he looked out from the cross, despising its shame, joy was brought to his heart when he saw me. When he saw me and said, I want that one for my very own. Wow. He loves you tonight. He always has loved you. And there's really nothing you can do to keep him from loving you. He wants you. He desires to have you. He desires for you to be a part of his family. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not going to force himself on you. He's not going to knock you down and drag you to an altar, but he's going to knock on your heart. And he's going to keep on letting you hear. Amen. I'm glad he didn't shut the preacher's mouth. When he began to deal with my heart, I'm glad he didn't say, that's enough. Glory. But he kept on troubling and he kept on dealing and he kept on wooing me and drawing me unto himself, showing me that he was the answer, that he was the remedy, that he was exactly what I needed, the ruling one. And I give you this, and I'm going to try to close. Some of you say, thank God. He's the returning one. He's the reliable, redeeming, ruling, returning one. He said, John, behold. Verse number 7, behold. Brother Tom Hayes would hear, he'd say, every time you see the word behold, it means looky, looky. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. He's the returning one. His little band of disciples, John along with them, went up to the top of Bethany. And there he told them, I'm going away. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Wow, what a statement. I'm going, and I'm going to prepare a place just for you. And I'm going to fix it all up just the way it's supposed to be, and then I'm going to come back and get you. And I'm going to take you with me so you can be where I am. Then they watched as a cloud received him out of their sight and lifted him off. And they were still standing there with their heads stretched up toward heaven looking as the clouds kept taking him farther and farther and farther and farther away. Still standing there gazing up into heaven, two angels said, "Boys, what are you standing here for? He gave you traveling orders. He's already called you, already chosen you, already put the gospel down into your heart, into your tongue, and he's given you the responsibility to tell somebody else. Quit looking, watching, and go to doing." I'm afraid a whole lot of us have read that verse in the Bible where it says, "Occupy till I come." They found him a seat, sat down, and they ain't got up since. Amen. We must be watching for the returning one. We must be waiting, listening. At any moment, he may come. Preacher and I were talking about it today. Everything's lined up. Everything's all lined up. Just any day now, our Lord is coming. He'll be returning for you and me. Oh, I've been watching and I've been waiting. Just any day now, his face I'll see. He promised, "I'm going, but I'm coming back." To make sure that they understood, the two angels said, "This same Jesus you've seen go into heaven shall come again in like manner as you've seen him go." The ruling one's coming back. Just as he promised, he's coming, returning for those that are saved, born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, ready for his coming. I don't know about you, but I don't have to go back to the house. There's not a thing back at the house that I'm going to need when I see him. Amen. You're not going to carry one thing with you. Anybody here know how much Sam Walton left when he left out of this world? Everything he had. He didn't take one thing with him. But what had him? What's got you is what'll take you out of this world. How is it with you tonight? John said, "I saw him. I felt him. I heard him. I know it's all true. I've watched him. I've waited for him. I've seen everything, and I know he can't lie. He told me the truth. He gave me instructions to write it all down. Write it all down. It's forever settled in heaven. It's not going to be changed. I can't help who tries to rewrite it. It's not going to be changed. He's coming for the redeemed, the blood washed, those he's purchased with his own blood. May I ask you, are you one of them tonight? Are you one of them tonight? Is your name in the book of life? Do you know that you know that you know that you are saved?" I like that testimony. I'm glad I've been saved. I'm glad I still am. Amen. I'm as saved as I can get. In this world, I've not only been saved, I still am saved. Because the great I am saved me. Salvation is of the Lord. It belongs to him. But he'll give it to whosoever shall call upon his name. Would that be you? Would you be here tonight and not know beyond doubt that you're saved? Would you be here tonight not knowing that when he comes, you'd be ready for him? My, my. I wouldn't let this opportunity pass me by. I'd like for you to stand all over the building, if you would, please. Brother Squire, if you don't mind, come get us a song. Somebody get a song of invitation this morning, tonight. Are you ready? Are you ready? Should he come? Are you ready? There's not one thing in this world worth missing heaven for. Not one thing in this world worth missing heaven for. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. See him. Hear him. Feel his touch tonight. And respond to his call. If there are things in your life tonight that are not what they ought to be, if you know tonight that you're not ready to meet the Lord, for whatever that reason might be, get that fixed. Get it fixed tonight. Because he might come. He just might come. I've traveled with the Inspirations Quartet now for about 38 years. Before I ever started with the quartet, way back in 1967, they started singing a song, Jesus is Coming Soon. We still sing it. You know what that means? He's coming sooner. He might come tonight. Might come in the morning. Oh, what a day that would be. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Well, let God do something for your heart, for your life this evening. The altar's open. They're going to come and sing. They're singing right now. You mind God? You mind God? See him. Talk to him. Hear what he has to say. Let him touch you. Be obedient.
Are you ready to surrender to him? I'll tell you, moms, dads, you're worried about your kids. You ought to come down and petition heaven. Build a wall of prayer tonight around your family. We are under satanic attack in America, in this world. Listen to this preacher. Some are beginning to move. You just obey the Lord right now.
You know the verse, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will gladly love and serve him.
Yeah.
Yes.
In his presence daily live.
That's right, come right on. Come right on.
I surrender all.
Bring it to the altar.
Oh, yes, I surrender all.
All to Jesus, I surrender.
Just one more moment, please. I can't help but feel in my heart there's somebody here who needs to get right with God. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just a moment, please. Nobody moving, nobody looking around. I want you to be honest with God. It's not for me to see. He already knows. And it doesn't matter what I may say or do, it's what you do with what he says to you. Are you saved? Are you in the will of God? Are you ready, looking, waiting for Jesus? If everything's well between you and the Lord right now, would you mind to testify to that fact by an uplifted hand? If everything's well between you and God right now, would you mind just to raise up that hand and say, "Preacher, as far as I can tell, everybody I know, everything's well between me and my Lord tonight." God help. Thank you so much. Thank you. It ought to make you feel good just to be able to have the opportunity to raise your hand for such a test as that. Now, if you're here tonight and you couldn't raise your hand, you know there's something that's amiss, something not right. Jesus wants to come. You'd have to face him with that. Why don't you slip on down to this altar and let it, give it to God? If you've seen the Lord, if you've heard from him tonight, if you've felt his touch, why don't you respond favorably to it? Don't turn him away. I trust he'll keep on knocking, as he did with me, but he doesn't have to. He does not have to. His spirit shall not always strive with men. He does not have to. Why don't you answer his call favorably tonight? Come to him. Call upon him. Let his will be manifested in your heart and your life this evening. Don't leave in the way you came in, but leave knowing that you've met with Jesus. Come on, while they sing another verse, this is it. This is for you. Come on, right now.
I surrender. You just obey the Lord tonight. To Jesus, I surrender.
Blessed Savior, I surrender.
Oh. Amen. I appreciate the message tonight. Amen.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, Brother Amen. Mike, he really put the plow in deep and plowed the furrow straight. And I appreciate that kind of preaching. That's what I grew up on.
Amen.
And I trust that that's what kind I'll be hearing when God calls me out of this world. Now, tomorrow night, we are going to have a great time in the Lord here again. Brother Squire, and I thought his trio was here. Duet. What
duet,
happened?
Duet just
got sick. All right, we won't go into that. Anyway, he's going to be back singing again tomorrow night. Now, we're also going to have the Camp Meeting Choir. They have been rehearsing, they have been practicing, and it's going to be about an 80 voice plus choir that's going to be singing tomorrow night. And I'll tell you what, we're going to hear a message from the Word of God. One of the greatest preachers that God's raised up in this part of the country is going to be preaching tomorrow night. Our people know him. He's been my buddy ever since I was there, the day he joined the church right after he got saved, there when he was baptized. He was right my right arm at a ministry for 4 years at another place. God has laid his hand on him, and he's become one of the greatest preachers in this part of the country, Brother Doug Bearden from Carrollton, Georgia. You be here. You hear him. He's got a message, and he'll bless your heart. Now, we're going to have the closing prayer at this time. Wait, no. Yes, son, you're right. The whippersnapper's holding up a dollar bill waving, and rubbing it this way. Be seated just a minute. Now, I know that a lot of y'all came here tonight to hear Beulah Land. Amen? I don't know whether they were saving it for later or not, but they're going to sing it right now. Amen. Ushers, you come on down. This is going to be some of that giving music, Beulah Lane. Boy, I'm telling you what, I was in a service about a year ago. Brother Joe Arthur was on. How many of y'all know Joe Arthur?
Yeah.
You know, I tell you what, if he had a brain, it'd be dangerous. He got up there, he ran up to the podium, and he grabbed the microphone, and he says, I just want to tell you one thing. I was with Brother Squire Parsons the other day, and I told him something. Said, Brother Squire, I've been writing some songs. And says, I mean some real good songs, and one's really making me some money. He says, it's Beulah Land. Amen. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, as we receive the offering, would you just bless it for your glory? And for the expense of the revival, I praise the name of Jesus, and I would ask you to bless those that give and those that have not to give as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, Pat. Oh, my. Well, I apologize to those of you expecting a trio. We're one short. I'm sorry, man. I'm kind of homesick, homesick for that country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbye. Spoken, for time won't matter anymore. Here